following program is a collection of stooges talking about the happenings in the automotive detailing industry. It is meant to be comedic and informative. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their boss, or their ad partners. There may be some cuss words because that's how grown-ups talk in the real world. If you are a young, please seek permission before watching or listening any further.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I am your host. All right, we're back with another exciting episode. Hopefully it's a good one. Before that, let's jump into, you know, where you can find us. The best way to find us is to go to the detailsolutionspodcast.com website. It's where you're going to find the links for social media. It's going to have the links for Apple and Spotify. Click on it, takes you right to where you can listen to us, follow us, subscribe to us, all that fun stuff. And then we also have a preferred vendor page. Our wonderful ad partners, when they come on with us, put them on the ad on the preferred vendor page. You're going to be able to read what their company does or what their company is. It's got a quick link that's going to take you right to their website. And if they've got a code, it's going to have a code to give you a discount. If not, when you call them up and talk to them, you're going to mention that you heard about them on the show, and they're going to break you off a little discount, help you out. You know, you spend some money with them, they spend some money with me, we'll all have a big laugh, hashtag money, money, funny. And then we have the drip shop. Go buy some t-shirts. We have the embroidered banner hat, which is a pretty cool hat. I love mine. We have the Kong shirts, and then also the logo t-shirt and the logo hoodie to check out. And I think I'm pretty much all caught up on YouTube. I think I just have to upload the one from the last episode on hiring and training. But to find us on YouTube now, we are the Detail Solutions Podcast and then number one. So the Detail Solutions Podcast number one. That's the new YouTube channel. So go and subscribe, follow, like, watch some videos. Check us out if you want to see these live, or well, not live, but if you want to see them in video form. And then TikTok, details. Oh, excuse me. The Detail Solutions Pod on TikTok. You can go, please go follow us there and check us out. I've been doing a lot of the Opus clips from the different episodes and putting them up there. And then I get caught up on CapCut every now and then. So I'm trying to make some funny CapCuts, especially with like Noxie involved with it. Because, you know, it's fun to make fun of Noxie. So yeah, go check us out there. And then please go like, share, follow, subscribe, anywhere that you're listening to this podcast. Appreciate it if you would leave a 5-star review. I know Apple also gives you the opportunity to actually write something. So if you wrote something, that would be spectacular. I love reading those. And then we've got like the two trainings that I'm promoting coming up. We've got the Rupes Aquatech training, out at Rupes in Colorado. That is April 17th through the 19th. So Jason Rose and Sarah are going to be doing the paint correction portion of the training. And then Jen Turcott and Mike Cardenas are going to be doing the Aquatech training, talking about the coating, showing you guys how to lay down, how easy they are, and then getting certified while you're there. that you can find and sign up for at Rupez. I believe it's rupez.com or rupezusa.com, whichever it is. You go to their training event and scroll down to you find that one. The other training, a few weeks later, May 3rd through the 5th, is going to be the Jess Carr Angel Wax training at Reds in Marietta, Georgia. That's the one I'm going to be at. I'm going to be there podcasting, making fun of Noxie, hanging out with Rick and Tommy, cutting up, having a good time. And that one is over on the Angel Wax website. You can go to their website and find that one. Sign up for that if you'd like to go to that one. All right, that's all for announcements, I believe. We're going to go take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with my guests. See you soon. It's your ultimate partner in automotive detailing. Elevate your detailing game with our premium microfiber towels and applicators, meticulously crafted for protection. Unleash the power of precision and achieve that showroom shine. Autofiber, where innovation meets immaculate finish. Upgrade your detailing experience today. Visit autofiber.com and use the code DSP for 10% off your order. The difference is in the details. All right, my guest tonight is John McClain. Oh, no, it's his brother, Nate McClain. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, man. Good, man. I was hoping the last name spelling was going to be the same, too, just so I could, like, play on it, but it's not. It's different.
He's just one C short of the big time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and his is – I looked it up on IMDb. It's A-N-E instead of A-I-N. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I get that question more times. I've had it more times in my life than you would not believe. Like, are you related to him? Like,
yeah, he's a fictional character.
In a movie. Do I? No, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about how your brother went to a Christmas party at Nakatomi Plaza.
The real debate is it a Christmas movie or
is it? It is a Christmas movie. We can say that. Listen, it is a Christmas movie. I don't give a shit what anybody says or used to say or whatever. Jason Brennan has me on that. It's a Christmas movie. But listen, man, we're not here to talk about is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not Christmas movie. We're here to talk about you and get to know you a little bit. So, you know, first question, the only question really, when, where, how, why did you start detailing?
So I would say it was probably an early childhood obsession. My stepdad had a couple classic cars. And we were always going to like one specific like weekend car event. It was the Salina Lake Festival. Some of my Ohio people that I used to run around with may know that, may not. And we would prep and clean a clean car for a week. Uh-huh. And I would say that probably started age 5.
Oh, wow.
And then I bought kind of my first car, fast forward like 10 years at age 15. And I like would wash and wax it every week. Like I wanted the cleanest car in town. And then it grew as an obsession. I started making money on weekends, like a wash, wax, vacuum, you know, wipe the interior down type of thing. Now we call it that. I called it a detail then, but
yeah, now it's express service.
Yeah. It kind of just blossomed from there to this point.
Nice. So, I mean, like, right out of high school, like, you know, through college or through after high school, or did you do anything in between?
So in high school, I used to, my first career was working at a car dealership. The guy kind of taught me how to cut and buff cars with a rotary.
Uh-huh.
And then I learned kind of the rotary there, or thought I did. And then... through high school, I would detail cars like on the weekends when I was home and not working at my job. I used to be an ag technician. So outside of agriculture, I could work on like cut and polish tractors and stuff.
Right.
And that was rare. But I mostly did cars, pickup trucks, stuff like that for friends and family. And then fast forward outside of college, which is when I worked at the ag dealership, I went into the marine world. And I worked on boats for about 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a mechanic, but I would also do like oh, we need this boat cut and buffed. Like, okay, that's fine. No big deal. And then in the mix of all that, I started learning gel coat and how to fix all that and fill spots and wet sand and then polish all that out. So I got to play. I got paid to play and figure
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah. that's pretty cool.
It didn't cost me money.
Yeah, no. And if you fucked up, at least you knew how to fix it, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So between automotive, agricultural, and marine, what do you prefer?
To be honest with you, I like boats the best.
Yeah.
It's relaxing to me because I can stand the whole time for the most part, aside from doing the keel of the boat. But a lot of times, most of what I do is, as far as boats goes, it's either like a ski boat or a wake boat. There's no,
right.
Nobody really brings me fishing boats and stuff like that because the bass guys, you know, they got their vinegar and water and their spray wax. They wipe them down with every time. Yeah. I think that's just grand.
Yeah.
But I like gel coat because it's, in my opinion, easier to work with.
Okay.
Sometimes you run into the boats that have the Emron. Those are not fun. Emron is terrible to work with. How do I want to put it? You could like almost smack it with a hammer and it's not going to chip it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a little extreme, but it's really durable.
Yeah. Well, I know when I was talking with Ken from Stark a couple of weeks ago, you know, we kind of, I said that, you know, that gel coat definitely is, you can wail on it a little bit more than you can with paint. And he was like, yeah, you know, and I forget the numbers he said, but like the thickness of gel coat was, you know, light years above thickness of clear coat on cars. So, you know, you definitely have way more to play with and you can, you know, run a rotary more on and everything.
You're familiar with Correct Craft, right? Or Nautique, your home state.
Nautique. Yeah.
So, that's what I worked on for like 6 years. I was strictly an inboard mechanic.
Oh, okay.
So that's where I learned. I actually got to go to the factory every year that I worked for this dealership, and they would factory train us on like repair and stuff like that. And then they would give us the tours and we would get to like test things.
Okay.
I don't want to say test things, but like, here, buff this spot on this boat. And then you could like, you know, you could play with brand new fresh gel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really, really cool.
No, that's neat. Yeah. You know, like I said in that episode, I've never been a big fan of boats. I mean, for a very brief time in my detailing career, I did work at one of the boat dealerships down here. It was kind of fun. You know, I mean, there was another cool dude that worked there. So like, you know, we had a good time while we did it, you know, but man, it sucked because they didn't really have like a detail department. So we were kind of just like in this one little area out, you know, and if it rained, you know, we didn't really have covers. So we had to go sit inside and like in the mechanic area and wait for it to stop raining. And then eventually they built like a really nice like dealership facility. And then we did have like an inside, you know, detail shop where we could do it. But it was shortly after that that I was like, I'm done with this. I'm going back to the car wash.
It's lots and lots of hard work, especially in the heat and stuff like that. In Indiana, as Mike would tell you, it doesn't get like super miserable here.
Yeah.
You get a week and a half, 2 weeks of like solid in the 90s, and then it's back to the 70s and 80s all the time.
Yeah, but you guys get like the cold. I mean, shit, I was just up there like back in November. I was in Indianapolis, and it was like, the last day we were there, it was like -2 and then like -20 wind chill. Like,
oh, it's fun.
No, it wasn't. It was not, man.
I would especially say, well, like yesterday here, it was, I want to say it was in like the low 30s. But when like we got up in the morning about 6:30, it was like 21. And today it's 50.
Yeah, fuck all that noise, man. Yesterday it was Let's see, what did I do yesterday? I did some maintenance washes yesterday, so I was done early, but it was pretty warm yesterday. It started off warm. I think it was in like the 80s or whatever, but then today it rained, so it's going to be cold tomorrow. We got a cold front coming through, so it's going to be cold tomorrow. So I got one maintenance wash, and then I'll be back home, be done. So
sweet.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about it. I did have to put a hoodie on the other day, though. I was like, whoa, it was a little chilly out. I
think
it was
Man, like that's rough.
It was in the 60s. I didn't put the hoodie on.
We get that here this time of year. We're like shorts and t-shirts, and everybody's out walking their dogs and hanging out with their kids and all that stuff.
Listen, I was still in shorts. Like the cold for some reason doesn't really bother my legs as much. It's my upper body that it bothers. So as long as I've got a hoodie on, like, I'm okay. Let's see. That was Tuesday and Wednesday, I think. But I mean, like, I don't know, by like 10:30, 11 o'clock, it was, you know, into the mid 70s. So the hoodie came off pretty quickly. So, yeah.
I have aspirations to move south as far as I can when I can.
Yeah.
Hopefully before, you know, I'm 100 and can retire then.
You're just tired of the cold, or you just want to?
So I'm like 6'7".
Oh, Jesus. I wonder why you like doing boats then.
Yeah. The cold is absolutely just terrible on like my knees and my ankles.
Yeah.
I sound like an old man, but like I can tell when it's going to get cold or crappy. Like my joints just ache.
Oh, geez.
Fortunately, I've lost like 50 pounds. So like that definitely,
that's good.
That adds to that. It helps a lot, but it doesn't just all go away.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Jeez, man. So, is it just you in your shop, or do you have employees?
Just one, solely me. I don't know if I'll ever be able to let an employee do what I do.
Yeah.
My OCD is a problem.
Okay.
Like, it's not that somebody can't do the work. It's that I'm too particular, and like, I don't want to like freak out on somebody because I can't handle like what they didn't do.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's unfair.
You go clockwise, they go counterclockwise, and it's just going to throw you all off.
Yeah, I don't. And it's not that like I would lash out or something, but I'd be like, I'm very direct type of person. Like, why didn't you do this? Why is this not done? And then that can cause issues.
Yeah.
And that can build up, and people will not want to work for you then. So I stay single.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of like the episode we talked about the other night with, you know, how to hire and train to scale it all goes into the training. So I think that's the one thing that a lot of detailers from talking to them over the years is, you know, that's you're saying the same thing everybody else does, right? Like, well, nobody can do it like me, you know, but the problem is I think a lot of times that the detailers don't understand, well, you have to train them how to do it like you. I mean, that was one of my biggest things, and I hated doing it at the car wash. I just loathed training people. I don't know why. It just wasn't my thing. Like, I just didn't want to go train people. But, you know, when you show them how you do it and why you're doing it that way, like, it's easier for them to pick up on it and then do it the way you want it. And, you know, so at the car wash, it was a different story. Cause I mean, we'd have anywhere from, you know, slow times or slow days, you know, 15 people to, you know, busy days and busy times, 40 people on the lot, you know, and they were all doing it the way they were trained. And the way they were trained was because of the way that I wanted to have it done. So, you know, sometimes I think that, you know, it's just taking that time to just explain to them why you do it that way and, you know, why they need to do it that way. And then it kind of works out, you know, but I get you.
I feel there's a million detailers that are better than me out there. So like, I don't think I'm the best or anything. It's just like, I don't know how to shut that OCD off and like not be or come across rude to those people. So yeah. Like, I just try to do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah. But dude, at 6'7", you got to hire somebody to do them rockers for you, bro. You can't get down that low. Come on, man. I got
quick jacks right there. Jacks.
Yeah. I mean, or you can just not do them, whatever.
Well, most people don't look at them anyway, right?
Exactly. Sun doesn't, the light's not hitting down there, right? So, yeah. Oh man, no, I've been doing more rockers lately than I like actually doing rockers. I mean, normally I just kind of buzz over them and make them shiny or whatever, but the last couple of cars I've done, like, I've actually had to like get down on the ground, which I hate sitting on the ground, and I've actually had to like polish rockers, and because I've had some pretty beat up ones. So for all you people out there, suck it.
You got to invest in them quick jacks, man.
I have them, but you know what, man? They're such a pain in the ass to do. I loved them when I first got them, but you know, you spend 20 or 30 minutes getting them all lined up and hooked up and get the car up in the air and all that shit, man. Like, I could be halfway washing clay in at that point, you know? So I just say screw it. And two, I don't do wheels off packages anymore. I bought a torque wrench, and I bought, like, you know, the sockets that have like the protective sleeves over them, so you don't scratch, you know, rims and everything like that. Did all that stuff when I was taking them off. And then, I watched a buddy of mine who came over to use my quick jacks, because he didn't have a lift in his shop yet. He came over to use my quick jacks because he wanted to coat his wheels on his car. And so I was like, yeah, whatever. Helped him set it up. And then, like, I went and did some stuff or whatever, let him take his own wheels off, his own wheels on. He leaves, he gets down the road, and he calls me. He's like, dude, I got to come back. And I'm like, what? And he's like, my wheels are wobbling. I'm like, your wheels are wobbling? What? So when he put the front wheels on, he didn't get them like flush before he put the lug nuts on. So he's going down the road and the wheels had a little bit of play in them. And after that, like, granted, it wasn't me who did it, but after that, I was like, man, I don't know that I want to be fucking around with this shit anymore. And top of that, it's a pain in the ass. It takes more time. It's not like I really had a lot of clients that were wanting to pay the extra money for me to like pull wheels off and do barrels and do calipers and all that shit. So I was just like, you know what? Insurance reasons, I don't pull wheels. You know, I'm just not going to deal with it. So then I was like, well, then I don't need to put cars on the jacks or the quick stands. You know, I'll just run around, sit on the ground every now and then, you know. So
it's a lot of the wheels are open enough now. Like, if they want a whole wheel coated, like, I can stick my hand far enough back in there to clean everything. And like, it's nobody looks at the back of the spokes anyway. Like, I'm not shady, but like,
yeah, exactly. It's like rockers. Nobody looks at rockers, right?
9 out of 10 people aren't pulling them wheels off to look at the inside of the spokes. Mm-mm. And no matter how deep you clean a wheel, you can prep them and tar remove them and scrape everything and anything off the back of that wheel. And as soon as you put an applicator on it, it's dirty.
Oh, yeah. I'm always like, what the hell?
These are the things that detailers don't talk about, and they think they're perfect, but like, that is actually what happens.
Yeah, we're probably going to get roasted on this one because we're saying all this stuff.
That's fine.
What? You guys don't clean the back? Yeah, you don't clean the back of the spokes? No, I'm not David Fermani. I'm not doing showpieces, right? Like, they're going to drive it down the road. It's just going to get caked with brake dust. They're never going to pull the wheels off to clean them ever again. You know, who cares?
Not everybody is Larry Casilla, and like, the dude is incredible, but like, I don't have the facility he does, nor probably ever will I. That level of detail is like the top shelf bourbon in the world. Where like, we're like the mid tier that is still really good, but like you don't have to spend all the money to get it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, right? I mean, like he's got a nice one. There's some other guys that have really nice ones, but like, you know, if I ever do a lift, I want one that's kind of like what he has, or Jim White's another one, like the lift that's like flush mounted. So you don't have to get like race ramps. You don't have to worry about anything. You just drive over it, lift it up. You're good to go. That's how I want it. But you know, I rent, and I'm not going to chisel up the floor in the place that I'm renting from now, because then when I do leave, I'm going to have to go fill it back in with concrete. I don't want to deal with all that. So
that's an added expense.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm trying to get out of the shop, you know. I'm not trying to be in there more. I want to get out, move on.
So what do you want to move on to?
Well, hopefully Aquatech starts picking up and they can pay me to sit on my ass and just talk to people and maybe go and like show people how to do some shit and get out of the shop as much. But I mean, ultimately, like my you know, my hopefully short term goal is, you know, for that, or, you know, hopefully it works with Aquatech. I love these guys and I love the product and everything, but you know, if not, then, you know, maybe with somebody else or something, but I don't know. Like I've talked to some people and they're like, well, what do you want to do? And you know, the problem is like, you know, I talked to Sarah from Rupes and they like travel 20 days out of the month. And I'm like, well, I don't want to travel that much. Like I, you know, want to be here for, you know, I mean, we only got, you know, a few more years with Haley being home before she goes off to school or whatever. So, you know, I mean, I want to be able to spend that time with her and I don't want to be away from Michelle that long or whatever, you know? So Sarah's like, well, you know, something comes up, I'll let you know, that doesn't require travel. And she's like, but everybody travels. And I'm like, yeah. So I don't know, you know, I mean, like I said, hopefully the Aquatech thing grows, you know, we're slowly getting it out there and getting people to notice it and, you know, see that it's a good product. And, you know, so hopefully more people will come on and Mike and Jason can make some money to pay me.
Perfect.
Yeah. We'll see. How long do you plan on staying in the shop?
So my long-term goal is to actually do kind of a long-term, short-term storage facility for cars, okay. Like classic cars.
Yeah.
So like at that point, I'll hire people to like maintain battery tenders, repair work, stuff like that. So like that's my overall goal. And then I can just step into the management role long term. Short term, I'm hoping to put up a bigger facility and then house somewhere between like 8 and 10 cars, like a building.
Nice.
Here in Indiana we do like pole buildings. I'm sure it's similar to what you guys have.
Yeah.
But hopefully that can be a short-term goal, you know, within the next 3 to 4 years of housing cars that way, and then that can add to the income, and then I don't have to be as giving on my selection of who I want to detail for and what I want to detail.
Right. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I mean, I always think about like how much nicer it'd be to have a bigger facility, but dude, my situation is so kind of perfect. You know, it's a little 600 square foot warehouse space, garage space, really. You know, I pay less than $400 a month for, and it's all the room that I really need, you know? And it's like, I think like, okay, yeah, it'd be cool to have like a, you know, 1200, 1500 square foot, you know, facility. But then I go, but I really only can work in 600 square feet of that. So then I'm going to be paying extra money for the, you know, other 600 to 800 square feet that I'm not using, you know, big deal. I could store a car. I don't have that. I'm not that busy that, you know, I've got like multiple cars scheduled at the same time or anything. And it's like, you know, so like I start thinking like, you know, yeah, it'd be nice, but then I'm paying like four times as much in rent, you know, yep. versus what I'm paying now, or I can pay what I pay now. I can make, or I can do less business, but technically I'm making the same as what most people do with bigger shops. They're just, you know, paying out all that and extra overhead. And then I'm like, and then I can just work part time.
Yeah. It just falls into that scale thing.
It's
like, that's kind of where I'm at too. It's like, I know that there's like a certain cap and there's only so much that I can do. Like,
yeah,
I can only make this much money more than likely if I book, you know, 2 to 3 coatings a week. And like, that's the cap. There's no going above that. And like, at this point in life, I'm not complacent with that. Like I don't want to stop earning.
Right.
Because like, it, you know, being a dad, like you want your kids and your family to have it better than you did. Like not
that life is terrible,
but like, that's my motivation to keep growing and building. And then my kids are set for life.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of, you know, the way that I think I have it now is because, I mean, you know, it's like Alan referred to it a while back, is it's a lifestyle business for me. It keeps me in the lifestyle that I want, you know, or that I'm used to. And I could scale it, like you're saying, right? I could scale it more if I really wanted to, but I would have to hire, you know. But at this point in my life, like, I'm just not into it, you know. If I was 20 years younger doing this, you know, or 30 years younger doing this, like some of the guys in the business, like, heck yeah, man. You know, I'd be all for like bringing on a bunch of people and getting a big spot and, you know, trying to scale it and, you know, being that guy. But right now it's like, you know, man, I like being able to cut out at 2 o'clock, go pick Haley up from school, come home, take her to cheerleading, cook dinner, have time with Michelle. Like, you know, and if I've got to stay late, you know, a little bit later, sometimes I do. But other than that, like I'm able to schedule most of the cars that I do are, you know, are coding jobs. So they're multiple day jobs anyway. So I can schedule it that way.
Sure.
And then, you know, yeah, it's I guess it's just how you want to do it. Yeah. But let's jump into a commercial break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more. Be right
Perfect.
Back. Is a leading provider of tent, paint protection film, and ceramic coatings. Experience the transformation as you cool down your vehicle and elevate its curb appeal with Audubon's window tent. Ditch rock chips and scratches by fortifying your paint with Audubon's cutting-edge paint protection film. And for an additional safeguard, add a ceramic coating. Backed by an unwavering lifetime warranty, Audubon's products form automotive armor with no limits. Visit AudubonFilms.com to delve deeper into the realm of automotive care and protection. So what are, since it's just you, I mean, are you like me where you're trying to book mainly just correction and coding jobs, or do you, you know, what do you try to shoot for?
I actually like window tint a lot. Sometimes it can be a pain. I do some of that. I do a little bit of paint protection film and I'm slowly like working into that. And I try to combo those jobs, I guess.
I swear I didn't segue this out of that commercial. I didn't know that you did window tint film, but that was a pretty good one, huh?
Yeah. You can see the scorpion right there.
Yeah. When you pay attention, yeah. Yeah. So what about window tint that you enjoy doing? Just quick, easy money?
Yeah. It's like somebody comes in, mom with her minivan or pop with his SUV, like, hey, I want these two front windows tinted. And it's like 45 minutes in and out.
Yeah. For like 150 bucks, 200 bucks or something.
Mine's 110.
Okay.
I have a really low cost on film and I'm really grateful for that. So I feel like I can offer a better, you know, a better price for the same quality.
No, that's cool.
It's when somebody's like, can you peel this window tint? And I'm like, yeah, I could, but it's $400.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to do that then.
Good
call.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me show you how to do it and you just come back and pay me. Yeah. Well, so let me ask you this, like, since you do some paint protection film too, which do you find is easier, window tint or paint protection film?
I would rather do paint protection film any day of the week. You get a piece of dirt in it, or you stick it down and you see that piece of dirt or fuzz or whatever, like you can flush the ever living crap out of it and then stick it back down and it's fine. As long as it wasn't tacked down, you know, for like 45 minutes to an hour, you get the glue marks, but that's my favorite thing to do. I kind of became complacent, I guess, in like coatings and stuff, because it's monotonous work at this time. It's like, you know, a GM car comes in, like that's what I learned on. So everybody's like, he's the king of GM black. Like, I don't own that title, but that's what people say about me. And it's like, it's just GM black. That's what I learned on. Like, it's easy to me.
Right. You know, I don't know what everybody makes a big deal about it for. I mean, I don't do a ton of GM black, but I mean, like, I feel like I've done my fair share, and I don't get why everybody bitches about it so much. I mean, I just do it. It comes out. I don't have any problems with it. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
It's like, how people just have to have something to complain about. If there's not a list of stuff, then it's a problem. I'm the same way some days. Like, you're having a bad day, you got to complain about something.
Yeah.
I think,
I don't know, man. I just throw a pad on and I run through my steps, and, you know, I find the combo that works for me, and I just, I go. It's like, to me, it's, I mean, I know there's like hard paint, soft paint. I mean, I've definitely have, you know, dealt with that, you know, where I'll start out with my, you know, this is what I start with, you know, pad and compound, and then either dial it up or dial it down depending on. So I definitely know, like, sometimes there's hard paint and, you know, it's just not cutting right. So I have to step it up, you know, go to a microfiber pad or go to a wool pad or something like that. Or sometimes, you know, you mar the shit out of it or put DA haze in it, so you step down, you know, compound or pad or something. But I don't know. I guess maybe people just need something to bitch about. I just never have really had that problem to bitch about paint. Like, unless it's just something that no matter what you're throwing at it, you know, you're just fucking beating your head against the wall. Like, I've had a couple of those cars that it's more that it's just fucking mentally exhausting, because it takes a lot more to correct or finish down to get as perfect as you want. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I don't know. I've never had an issue.
I would take GM black over any color any day of the week. Like, I enjoy it. I really do. It's like, if I can't knock it out with like a blue HDO pad and some, like, you know, your moderate compound / polish that like finishes down real good with a diminishing abrasive, like, I don't, like, something's wrong with it. It's either been,
I was going to ask you, for everybody listening, how do you do it? But a blue HDO pad, that seems to be the norm, right?
I call it my combo. I use Shine Supply Classic Polish with two dots of Classic Polish and two dots of Classic Cut.
Okay.
Work the panel, do your 5 to 9 pounds of pressure or whatever you want to call it, couple passes one way, and then slow your machine down from like 4.5 to like 3.5, up and down, across, and then wipe it, and it's done.
See,
you don't have to work.
I think you said you don't have
to work a panel 40 times for it to get perfect. You are probably going to inflict more damage on that panel than you are helping it.
Listen, it's a long throw machine. I talked about this. Shit, I don't even know. It was the one with Kyle when we talked about trainings. And those long throw machines, people don't understand like how much more aggressive their cut is. And that's where, like I said in that episode, that's where I learned that clicked for me, was when I was working with Dylan with some of the Rupes sanding discs on a Bigfoot 15. And, you know, he asked me, I'll just retell the story again for people who didn't listen to that one. Dylan asked me how come I wasn't using the Scorpio machine. And I said, because I don't own a Scorpio machine. I'm not going to go buy one because I don't sand. But if I did need to sand, I have a 15. So I want to use this. And he goes, okay, well, I'm going to tell you it's a long throw machine. It's going to cut a little bit harder. So you're not going to do as many passes. And then in doing so, that clicked on why everybody preaches that you shouldn't overcycle your compound and polish. You don't need to do those super long 1 minute, you know, passes or whatever. They need to be, you know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds most times. So yeah, I think that's something that, you know, a lot of people don't understand. And but I like what you said there is going from speed four down to speed two. And that's something that I run. I typically run four for my cut and then two or three for my polish, just depending on. Whereas I think so many people are just, you know, speed six, you know, rip it and grip, rip it and tip it, or tip it and rip it, whatever the Burke saying is, you know, like, you know, wide open. And I forget who I heard the other day. Somebody was like, you know, just because the machine goes to six does not mean it should be run at six. So
there, if you need to dig out more like hairs in the paint, like you get a hair once in a while, like you have a three, mm-hmm. most people have a 3-inch machine, take your 3-inch machine, put a little more aggressive pad on it and then blend out from there. Like you don't yeah. need to do the whole panel that way. If you're going to destroy the paint, then don't touch it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, listen, I mean, speed six is, you know, it's there for a reason.
To be truthful, I use it on glass occasionally. Not that I'm removing defects from the glass, but like if you have glass that's like, if you look through a windshield, especially in the sun, where it's like, you can tell it's real dirty and hazy, like at least it pulls it out of the windshield. Like that's all I'm going for. A microfiber pad and cut compound, you're not even going to hurt that glass. It's not going to touch it.
Yeah.
But it cleans it.
The only thing you have to worry about with glass is just heating it up, because then it'll crack. I've seen
funny story about heated up glass.
Yeah. You got one? I got one. Thankfully, it wasn't me, though.
This one was me. So this lady that my longtime client is friends with, he's like, he'll take your windshield. So she had a brand new windshield put in this due to a rock chip or something like that. And I literally stuck a hard card up in the corner of the windshield to push like a little bubble out. And the windshield split from the side all the way down to, it went over to the side mirror and then down to the bottom of the windshield.
Oh, jeez. No, there was a time when I was at the car wash. I might have been like new to the car wash then. I don't think I was, or maybe it just started detailing there. And this lady had a scratch on the side, passenger side front door window of her, I don't know what it was, I don't remember, some SUV or something. And so one of the supervisors who had detailed before or whatever, he's like, oh, I can get that out. And he grabs a rotary and a wool pad. He's just like going to town, and then all of a sudden the rotary and everything just goes through into the car, because the glass just shattered under the heat of it trying to get that scratch out.
That's rough.
I was like, yeah, I was like, ooh. Yeah. So I don't like doing glass. I mean, if I do, it's more of just kind of again, speed four is probably about the most I do, and it's quick passes just to kind of run over it, just to clean it a little bit before I put a coating on or something.
It's all on how you want to run a machine, I guess. I would rather be efficient and get it done so I don't have to hold the machine anymore. Cause like this guy brought me a 2023 Camaro like at the beginning of the week, and it left Wednesday. He wanted it perfect, because this was like the Indy 500 car Marco Andretti rode in as the parade car.
Okay.
And he's like, I want it perfect. So like I spent like 15 hours doing it, but he paid for it. So it's like, I can do those corrections, but there's no purpose in doing it if somebody's not going to, is not willing to pay for it.
Right, right, exactly.
So like that's where most of what I do is a one step. It's not that I can't do the work, yeah, but there's no point in doing the work if somebody doesn't want to pay for it.
Yeah, and I've also found too that especially with like the newer cars with the paint getting so thin, like it's not warranted really, right. You know? I mean, especially if it's a new car and it's got very minimal, you know, swirling or micro marring or whatever, you know, something that you can take down with a one step polish, you know, or whatever. I don't see the reason to hit it with, you know, a heavy cut and a heavy comp or a heavy cut and a heavy pad, you know, that you're just gonna, you know, take away half of the clear coat that's on this car because it's so thin. And then that's also where I've just kind of started offering more like budget friendly type prices and services. Cause you know, I'd rather do something that I could turn around in 4 to 8 hours and make, you know, $1,000, $1,200 on and get it done in a day and be done with it. Then, you know, like this, this Jeep I had this week that did need full correction because it was pretty marred up, pretty scratched up. I mean, yeah, I charged the guy $2,500 for it, but you know, it took me a full 2 days to get it finished down and polished real nice, and then you know, throw a coating on top of it. You know, and I'd have rather done two cars, you know, that took me 6 or 7 hours to make that same money than one car that took me, you know, 20 hours to make that money, you know. So.
For sure. And it's, I think these detailers now, I've been doing this for like, started out, I guess, 15 years ago, if that's what you want to call it. I've had a polish in my hand for like 12. And I've been playing with coating since like C-Quartz came out, like the non-professional version.
Right.
Like it's just experience. Like you can't buy that. You can go to any detailing class you want and get a little bit of experience, but like what you really need is business, because you need to work on it, not in it.
Yeah.
You can always do the work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely. I mean, I was just talking with somebody the other day, and we were talking about that, you know, it's not necessarily that a lot of these guys coming into the industry and, you know, that are kind of ruining it. It's because they don't understand the business side of it. You know, they don't know to charge, you know, X amount of dollars an hour or X amount of dollars for a coding job. You know, they're just like, you know, hey, I need to sell a job. I need to make money. So I think it's you're right. It's more on the business side. People should be doing more business, investing more in the business side of it than the work side of it.
You mean I can't just get a certification and hang it on my cabinet and I'm automatically the
absolutely.
Best?
Absolutely. You want one? I'll send you one. I got blanks. I make
that'd
them
be
up.
Perfect.
Whatever you want. Yeah, whatever you want. Whatever coding company.
I want Noxy to sign
whatever
it.
Coding company you want. Oh, you want Noxy to sign it? His signature costs a lot of money. I can't afford
I'm actually hoping to take his class. I've reached out to him a couple times and like not talked to him a lot, but like he's always there. He wants to help you.
Yeah.
And that's more than I can say about most people in this industry.
Lately, is there a little bit too much? He calls me like every night now. I'm like, oh, dude, I don't know what happened. I don't know why. How we became best friends all of a sudden. I'm just kidding, Noxy. You can call me anytime. He called me tonight. He was crying because I'm supposed to get my waxes tomorrow, and he doesn't get his until Monday. So he's a little mad about that.
Does that smell like cigarette and ashtray?
Dude, no, it's going to smell like donut. Hopefully it's going to smell like donuts. That's what I told him. I wanted it to smell like cigarettes and compound polish or compound. But when I was talking with Rick, Rick didn't think they could do that. So I was like, we'll just make it smell sweet like a donut, since the pitcher is Knox eating a donut. And then when I had John Hogg on, I had said something to John about it. And John's like, yeah, I could do a tobacco smell. And I was like, oh, he was like, it's too late. We already made it. And I was like, damn it. So maybe the next one. If this one sells really good, I actually have an idea of doing like a collector's series. And so if this one sells really good, then I'm thinking about doing two more to kind of have like a trilogy collector series thing. So maybe the second, or so hopefully this, if that does, then the second one will be will have a tobacco smell to it if John can do it.
Who do I reach out to for this specialty wax? Because I think that'd be pretty sweet, especially like a promo like car shows and stuff.
Just hit up Tommy
Ramos, or however you pronounce it.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Hit up Tommy and or Rick. I mean, I just talked to Rick because I knew that's who I knew Noxie talked to. So, but Tommy could probably get it figured out for you though, or whatever. but yeah, I just hit up Rick, and it's really. It wasn't that expensive. I mean, I'm sure he probably gave me and Noxie a little bit of a deal, but it really wasn't too bad. So,
Fair enough.
Let's do our last commercial break, and I'll come back and wrap this up because I got to watch some cheerleading tonight. So we'll be right back.
Knows what a detailer wants. Aquatech is a company founded by detailers for detailers.
Aquatech Coatings is a company that was founded on the frustrations that we all face as professional detailers. And that is why we set out to build a company that eliminates those frustrations, to provide excellent customer service, quality products, reliability, efficiency, products that check all the boxes as professional detailers we need and we want.
Find out why so many detailers around the world are loving the Aquatech difference. Join our team today at aquatechcoatings.com.
All right, Nate. So now it's the three questions. I know you're all looking forward to the other ones, but these are three new ones. I'm switching them up. Got to switch them up every now and then just to keep it fresh or whatever. So the first one's the Groundhog Day question. You ever seen the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? No.
I'm only 30, man. I'm not that old.
I mean, it's a classic. It's a Bill Murray movie, dude. So in this movie, Bill Murray is like, it's typical. He's a terrible person. He gets stuck in Groundhog Day. Like, he has to relive Groundhog Day over and over and over again until he, like, you know, becomes a better person. You know, fate has bestowed him stuck in Groundhog Day until he becomes a better person. So the thing is you're reliving this day over and over and over and over and over again. You can carry on any knowledge that you learned from the day before to the next day, to the next day, to the next day, to the next day. But everybody else, it's like their first time in that day, right? So after you've tried to kill yourself unsuccessfully, because you'll always wake up the next day, because that's pretty much what anybody would do. It's what happened in the movie. What is the thing that you would do with being stuck, reliving the same day over and over again? Would you learn something? Would you try to better yourself? Would you just, you know, what was that one movie? The Purge. Would you just like go on a purge every day? Like, what's your thing to do until you correct yourself to get out of it?
I think I would probably try to learn more patience, because it kind of reminds me of the way you make it sound, like 50 first dates, like he's got to remind her every single day of who she is, but he remembers everything. So like, I think I would try to learn to develop patience and like learn how to deal with those people to become a better person. Because truthfully, I can't stand stupid people.
Like, I don't think anybody can, honestly.
My patience get very thin.
Yeah.
So I would try to learn how to be more patient with people.
Okay. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay. The second one's the Back to the Future question. I mean, come on. You know the Back to the
Every
Future.
Every single one. Like, come on.
I'd hope so. So the Back to the Future question. The DeLorean pulls up. You have full access to it. Go anywhere forward or you know, in the future or in the past. Where are you going and why?
I'm going back to bring my grandma to the future.
Okay. And disrupt the time, the space-time continuum, huh?
Yeah, something like that. I think she was an influence on me like all my life and always was super positive around me, even though the people around her weren't.
Okay.
And it's some of my fondest, like best childhood memories is being with her. Okay. So I think she would be a good influence on me today.
Oh, that's cool, man. Yeah. That's good stuff. Did you lose her like early on in your childhood or in your life?
3 days after I graduated college, I got bring my certificate home or whatever. Show her. And then 3 days later, she passed away.
Oh, so, man. Yeah. That's cool, though. At least you got to show her.
Yeah.
All right. And then the last question is, what's your death row last meal?
Oh, man. Filet, asparagus, and mashed potatoes.
Dude, that's what I had at Capitol Grill the other night. My pee still smells like asparagus. That's exactly what I had the other night, man. Capitol Grill. I love the Capitol Grill.
And then probably either a Blue Moon or a Rolling Rock beer with it.
Okay. Nice. I think that's good. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on and doing this. I know you, you had some stuff come up a couple of weeks ago and we had to postpone, but, at least you made it this time. So
I have some advice for anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
If you hire a contractor, make sure that they are fluently communicating with you. And then the project manager takes notes. Cause if they don't take notes and you don't communicate with the person that owns a company, it's not going to go good.
It's kind of like hiring a detailer, right?
Yeah, there's that. Yeah.
Nice. Well, listen, Nate, if anybody wanted to reach out, Sorry. I just, ate pizza before I came on the air. It's coming back up. If anybody wanted to reach out and message you or just, you know, see who you are on Facebook or whatever. What's your at where people could find you?
My detailing website's alloutindustriesdetailing.com. My Facebook is just Nate McLean. And then my Facebook business page is All Out Detailing and Ceramic Coatings. Feel free to reach out to me on any of those platforms if you have any questions or just want to have a conversation.
Sweet, man. All right, buddy. Well, you go have a rest. Good rest of your night. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye.
All right, everybody. So that was Nate. Nate's a cool dude. Been talking to him for a bit now. So I was glad to finally get him on and have a conversation. So listen, please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button anywhere that you are following the podcast or listening to the podcast or watching the podcast. Please go leave a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple. It does help, just like you want your clients to give you a 5-star review so that it bumps you up in the order. It does the same thing for the podcast. It gets us in front of more people to be able to see, especially when they're looking at automotive category podcasts. So that is it. I got to go watch my daughter do some cheerleading now. So I appreciate everyone who's listening and supporting the podcast. Thank you so much. Please go have a great day, night, week, whenever you're listening to this. And until next time, we'll see you.